So one of the things, first thing I got to tell you, this sermon, this message that I'm going to give you today has rewritten itself 7 or 8 times, I think, in a while. And in the last couple of days, it's changed multiple times. You might think, wow, you didn't get this thing all written down and have it all. Well, yeah. So my thought on this was, I'm going to say what I think you all need to hear. God was like, nah, I don't think so. So in conversation with Delbert, in conversation with my wife, in conversation with my kids, in conversation with God, it kept changing and changing and changing. So, bear with me. Let's all be fluid together today. Let the Spirit of God kind of move through the room and let it hit. It's His message. It's not my message. But it is kind of my story. So, first off, how many of you guys have ever had your car not start right before you had to get to work? How many of you guys have had the power go out right when you need to get dinner done? How many of you have gotten a phone call from a telemarketer right as you're trying to get dinner ready and it all boils over? So we all have troubles, right? This is your trouble. Okay? Causes a ripple effect. Imagine your trouble is dropped in a pond. You get this perfectly clear pond. And your trouble gets dropped in. That pond is your life. And so that trouble hits and the ripple goes out. How many of your days start off wonderful when you go out and your car won't start? What is the ripple effect of that? It changes how everything else goes in your day, doesn't it? That's one of the wonderful promises that Jesus says in the Bible. I love this scripture. He says, I quote, "In this world you will have trouble." He didn't say that because you become a Christian, because you go to church on Sunday, it's going to be all tiptoe through the tulips, everything's going to be perfectly fine, does he? No. But the other part of this, the promise part, "But take heart, I have overcome the world." So he's telling us, yeah, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have difficulties. You're going to have all that stuff. But know what? I've taken care of it. How many of you have had troubles where you go to the doctor? You've had this problem. You go to the doctor. "Sorry, I got props." Ugh! You go to the doctor, and he gives you the diagnosis: you've got cancer. A loved one passes away unexpectedly. Child passes away. Somebody dies in battle that you know. You have a car accident. Trouble's a little bit bigger, isn't it? I'm not going to drop this as far. Imagine that ripple in your life. How does that change? So your trouble can be even bigger. I can't carry any bigger rock, or I would have, but I probably would have put it right down into the downstairs. You live long enough, you're going to have those. I've been on this planet 54 years. July 9, 1984. I had one of those. A lot of you do know my story, but of those of you who don't, July 9th, 1984, I was rafting with some friends. Had a great day. Glad I remember it. We were coming home from our raft trip, and we had a car accident. It wasn't a high-speed car accident. It wasn't anything like that. You know, when you tow a wider trailer with a narrow car, you don't want to get the trailer tires off in the gravel because it tends to make the car go where it wants to go. So what happened is the car swerved, went over the road, went into the ditch, and rolled over. Okay? I think that's all right. When that happened, I went into the steering wheel, went into the windshield, my head went outside the driver's side window, and the car top rolled over on my head. My brother, who was in the seat next to me, didn't even know. He was looking around for something too, because I realized last night I was like a distracted driver accident because I was looking for something in the car. I was looking down when this happened. Well, next thing my brother tells me that he remembers, he looks over, like, what was that? And I was covered head to toe in blood. So anyway, that was my trouble. But in that trouble, there are miracles that I kind of, over the years I've thought of these miracles. First miracle, people I was with were all lifeguards. They've all had first aid training. So they were able to help me out. My brother wasn't able to do anything because he was kind of in shock seeing his big brother laying there on the side of the road. But he was able to let other people know what they had to do. My best friend from kindergarten had to take my teeth out of my mouth so I could breathe because I busted my front four teeth were busted out. The other lifeguards were able to take care of me. Another miracle, a lady who lived across the road from where the car accident happened to be on her phone looking out the window when it happened. She hung up the phone, called 911. A rural ambulance crew was there under 5 minutes. That rural ambulance crew happened to have blood on board in their ambulance because I got 4 units of blood between where the accident happened and the hospital. Okay, miracles are happening. The miracle that amazes me is my dad is an orthopedic surgeon, and he knew that we were supposed to be home by a certain time. And this isn't before the days of cell phones, kids, where you can't call and check on your parents, or your parents can't call and check on you, or they can't put a little GPS chip thing on your phone so they know where you're at all times. So he knew that we weren't home. We weren't home yet, and so he went to where I we normally stored the raft. Looked in the shed. He knew it wasn't there. So, to this day, my dad does not know why. But he went to the hospital. There's two hospitals in Medford. He went to the hospital and was standing there in the ER entrance when the ambulance pulled up with me in it. He thought it was my brother when they told him your son has been in an accident. So my dad was the physician who took care of me in that ER. Now, in my profession, I've seen a lot of trauma. I've done a lot of stuff. But the thing that just blows me away is I cannot imagine if I put myself in my dad's position and what that would have done. In that time that he had me in the ER, my heart stopped twice. And my dad said that he just yelled in my ear, "Don't give up." And I would kind of come to and I would yell, and blood and foam and dirt would come out of my mouth. and I would start breathing again, and my heart would start again. Miracles happen, even in tragedy. So I always thought that I spent a ton of time in the hospital. But as I started looking at what had happened, this happened on July 9th, okay? On October 12th, I was able to go opening day of duck hunting. I had gone from 185 pounds, long distance runner, in shape, lifeguard, everything like that. When I got out of the hospital at OHSU, I weighed 120 pounds. I could do that around my thigh. I was wearing my sister's pants. Okay. I found that pair of pants in October and thought, I'm going to see if I can get those pants on. I got them about here. I couldn't see at all out of either eye for probably 6 weeks. And then gradually one came back. While I was in the hospital in Medford, I remember my parents, I was unconscious for 3 days. They didn't know what was going to happen. They couldn't do any surgery on me because I always was proud of myself. I'd never broken a bone in my body until that day. Then I did every single one from here up, pretty much. I split my jaw here, broke my jaw here, crushed both orbits, broke the bones here, shattered my skull, lost my teeth. But they couldn't do any surgeries because of all the swelling that happened. My head was as swollen out to my shoulders. If you've ever taken a hard-boiled egg and cracked all the shell but not taken the shell off, the doctor said that's basically what I did with my skull. And that's what, and a lot of you might argue with me on this, but that's why they said I didn't have any brain damage. Those who know me now would say otherwise. But when I finally came to, my dad had told me you'd been in a car accident. And I just kind of was laying there shaking my head as best I could. No. And you know, they're not sure what my mental status was going to be. And my dad said, I started doing this because I couldn't talk. He goes, do you want to write something? And I was like, yeah. So he gave me a pencil and a piece of paper, and I wrote, you might want to let the people know I'm not going to be able to mow their lawns tomorrow. So my dad said right then, tears ran down his face. He knew the brain was still working. To some, you know. So troubles happen. There are things that draw us closer to God. You might not know it in the moment. When you're in the midst of that darkness, when you're in the midst of the pain, you can't see beyond your pain. I had, for years, I did not know how to deal with what had happened. This happened so long ago. This is before any post-traumatic stress counseling. You know, they called it shell shock for anybody who's in the military. They didn't have PTSD counseling or anything like that. So I dealt with this on my own. Being the oldest boy, I never let anybody know. You know, my mindset was don't let them see you hurt. The way the nurses knew that I was in pain is when they would come in and say, hey, John, how's your pain level? I'd kind of go like this. And I don't know, those of you who are older, remember the Excedrin headache? I've got an Excedrin headache this big. So they knew that when I stretched my arms all the way out, it was time for another Demerol shot. But I didn't know how to deal with it. Yeah, I had recovered. Yeah, I had, done all this. But I didn't have, I had grown up in a church, but I didn't have a relationship with God. And I remember the first time I was able to see myself in a mirror after my car accident. I mean, you can imagine, last I had seen myself as I was getting ready to go on this rafting trip. 6-8 weeks later, I see myself, no hair, because I had to shave my head. I'd lost 65 pounds, so you can imagine what I look like to myself. And I remember looking in that mirror and saying, "Thanks a lot, God. Why did you do this to me?" Kind of selfish, isn't it? But that's where I was. That was the place I was in. I had years and years of anger at God and how to deal with this. I dealt with it in ways that some people would make your hair curl, even if you don't have hair. But that's a whole different part of my life. But luckily, I kept going through it. That ripple effect of that trouble, if I look at my life, put me where I am right now in this moment. Miracles happen. If I had not had that, I was thinking I had my life all planned out. I knew what I was going to do. I think God had a different idea. I was a stubborn person, and I didn't do a whole lot of listening to what God's plan was because I kept thinking my plan's bigger than his. And being a stubborn person, like most everybody in my family knows, God had to use a 2x4 upside the head to get my attention. And it took some time for that to get my attention. But if that trouble hadn't happened, I wouldn't have finally gone into x-ray school in Klamath Falls. I wouldn't have ended up in Pendleton. And so then I'm in Pendleton. And if you're a single guy, non-rodeo, non-cowboy, and you live in Pendleton, Oregon, you want to go somewhere else pretty quick. I'd lasted probably, I got there, I started working there in March. I lasted till about that roundup. And I was like, okay, I have to get out of this place. So I had already started applying to nuclear medicine school in Portland. I was going to go, of all the things I thought was better, I was going to go live with my sister in Portland. So I'm thinking, I got to get out of here. But God had a different plan because a lady I knew at work said, "Hey, I've got somebody you need to meet." And I'm thinking, knowing this girl's personality that told me this, I'm like, sure. Yeah, okay. I'll meet her. Whatever. So we had this all-staff meeting at the hospital. And so I'm sitting next to this gal. And we're waiting, and they do the pass the sign-in sheet. You pass the sign-in sheet around. So I'm sitting there at this meeting, and people are filing in, and she elbows me, and she goes, that's her right there. And I was like, "That's your friend?" "Well, I know her." I was like, "Oh, okay." So this girl sits across the room from me, and the sign-up sheet's coming around, and it gets to me, and being the normal person I am, I start counting back. Oh, I know her name now. So I sign my name and pass it on. A couple days later, the girl she was a receptionist in our apartment, says, "So have you talked to her yet?" "No, I've been busy." And she goes, "Oh, I'm done with this." And she leaves, and I'm like, okay, good, it's over. So finally, 5 minutes goes by, and she comes back and just, "Come here, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. I got it. Follow me." So I follow her. And I don't remember old St. Anthony Hospital, which is now a gravel pit. You know, it's kind of nice. That's where all my kids were born, is now non-existent. There was that side entrance on Court, and you could get to medical records back that way. And she goes, come on, come on, come on. So I go back there. She opens the door, and she goes, John, this is Kim. Kim, this is John. And she leaves. Miracles. Been with her ever since. Now, part of that story is that, I mean, if, as I kind of like bugged her all the time, I think I almost went broke. We went out to lunch so often. You know, and I'd call her up and say, what are you doing? Oh, I'm going to wash my car. Cool, I'll be right over. And I'd go over and wash her car, you know, whatever. But if that hadn't happened, I would never have met her. So, you know, years go by. If that had never happened, I wouldn't have the honor of having the three kids that I have. I wouldn't have the honor of doing the things that I've done in church. I wouldn't have the honor of being able to stand here in front of you right now today. So, you know, I'm thinking through all of this sermon ideas and everything that my life changed because of my accident. That was, you know. So I'm thinking on that this morning, actually, when God decided, no, I'm going to change your message again. And God said, no, I changed your life with your accident. God has things planned for us that we do not know. He promises us in Scripture, in this world you will have trouble, but I have overcome the world. So when all of that stuff goes down, when all of the problems, you, a lot of times you just got to hold on and you know, do your best to get through it. Now, it's easier for me to get through things because now I do have a better relationship with God. Is it perfect? No. Do I still doubt what God has planned for me? Yeah. So this coming Tuesday, it's 35 years since that happened. I realize here today I've lived longer with blind in one eye than I lived my whole, you know, the rest of my life. And I was talking with my mom yesterday, and God changed my message again. And she said, it's just like any other day for you. You've gone through this 35 times. But I told her, I said, you know, one of the reasons I think this year has been a little bit different is my life has changed so dramatically in this last year. You know, we've been coming to church here for years, but finally, our third child is going to be leaving. That's a big change. And then for me, with this accident reminder, is this year I ended up with a whole nother eye issue. You know, I hadn't thought anything of being blind in one eye. It never has bothered me. I got used to it. But then I ended up with this eye issue. So now I'm constantly aware of being blind. So it was kind of like, yeah, it made it a little more interesting. And at the moment when all this went down with my eye, I thought, I went back to that kid looking in the mirror. And I looked at myself in the mirror one morning and I said, really, God, you're going to get me through 35 years and you're going to do this now? Okay. He didn't say it was going to be easy. But, you know, miracles of miracles keep happening. To be able to go from an eye pressure of 58 down to 25 now, it's almost back to normal. You know, and for me, normal is different than everybody else, of course. So life has changed. And for me, one of the things, I don't know about you guys, but you know, you hear songs on the radio and they hit you. And so I have been listening on the radio and this one song keeps coming up. And I'm just like, okay, really, you're going to play that one again? But it kind of, it really speaks to me. And I've just decided I'm going to share it with you. I haven't played my guitar in a long time. Bear with me. We'll see how this goes. Yeah. I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I'll never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. Ooh, you say I'm love when I can't feel a thing. You say I'm strong when I think I'm weak. You say I'm held when I am falling short. When I don't belong, oh, you say I'm yours. And I believe what you say of me. I believe the only thing that matters now is everything you think of me. In you I find my worth, in you I find my identity. Oh, you say I'm loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I'm strong when I think I'm weak. And you say I'm held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, oh, you say I'm yours. And I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me. I believe. Taking all I have and now I'm laying it at your feet. Because you have every failure, God, and you have every victory. Oh, you say I'm loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I'm strong when I think I'm weak. And you say I'm held when I am falling short. When I don't belong, oh, you say I'm yours. And I believe what you say of me. I believe, oh, I believe, yes, I believe
what you say of me, I believe.
Who are you going to believe? You going to believe the world? Or are you going to believe what he says? God bless all of you today. As the worship team's coming up to close us in a song, if you've ever had trouble, you're feeling the ripples, you don't know where to go, like Justin said, maybe you have a boulder that's big enough it just caused a tsunami, come on up, let's pray together. We'll have a couple of the elders, please come up, and they'll be here with you. I'll be here. Just thank you for being my family. Thank you for accepting me, who I am today.